Coming up on the Panel Scanners podcast, Johnny is all in with DC's Zero Month. Phil gives his impressions of the imminent Marvel Now. Darren intros all of his new titles, and Phil wraps it up with a retro review of John Byrne and Chris Claremont's Dark Phoenix Saga. Live on MP3 from the Nervous Dog Coffee Bar, it's the Panel Scanners podcast, episode 5, and it's happening now.
Gentlemen, welcome to Panel Scanners, where we are analyzing a truly American art form, the comic book. I'm your host, Johnny Capps. With me, as always, is Darren.
Hello.
And Phil.
How's it going?
We are going to spend the next hour or so talking about everybody's favorite brand of sequential art. Great comic book.
How many forms of sequential art are there?
Well, there's comic strip. There's
cave paintings.
Cave paintings, yes.
We do have that. We're up on cave paintings.
I was gonna address that, but you know,
technically film.
There's cartouche. The Egyptian cartouche.
Okay, you win.
So, there we go.
That's why you're the boss.
This is why we have the comic book, which is an accessible form of sequential storytelling. Storytelling through sequential art.
I always get lost in cave paintings. I fail to follow the narrative about two or three oxen in.
Oh, you know
it's
what?
It's because you missed the
spear. You really have to focus. Mm-hmm.
There's no punctuation.
You really have
it's
to focus.
It's the spear.
Oh, there it is.
All right, so what's going on in our favorite industry? This month, we mark the passing of a great, great comic book legend, Joe Kubert.
That's so sad.
Joe Kubert.
Pioneer, if ever there was one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The man was a legendary comic book icon.
Known primarily for his World War II stuff, too, like Sergeant Rock.
Yes. Sergeant Rock. And
you know, he formed his own school.
Mm-hmm.
Prolific pioneer.
And his family is carrying on his legacy, are they not?
Yeah, Joe is he's really big into the industry. He's a pretty popular artist,
Andy,
too.
Joe's the one who died.
Oh, sorry, Andy. Yeah, Andy Kubert.
Yeah.
He did Superman for a while.
Yes, he did.
He was very good.
So, we will miss you, Joe Kubert.
Marvel did a nice job of having memorial page spreads. I'm not sure if DC did.
DC did as well. Those were fantastic.
Great, they were wonderful.
Yes. So, the passing of a legend. Also, ladies and gentlemen, it has been confirmed that Joss Whedon will direct Avengers 2. I mean, was there ever really any doubt?
No.
There can't be.
I mean, after that incredible Avengers movie.
There's no way.
Yeah.
That movie
can't really.
Can you imagine, though? He's in Christopher Nolan's shoes now, isn't he?
He really
because
is.
Batman, think about it. Batman Begins, like people, Batman Begins is such an interesting situation because that movie, the first week or two, did not do well at the box office, but word of mouth traveled and people started to go see it and like, holy cow, this thing is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then he topped it with The Dark Knight and he gave a real nice ending to The Dark Knight Rises, but now the pressure is on. Like, what can you do
to top what we saw? I have heard rumors about a Batman Beyond being the sequence.
Batman Beyond? Really?
These are just rumors. I am in the minority.
I loved that cartoon
No, you were not in the minority.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't an incredible Batman Beyond. Ew, why would you do that? That was a Batman Beyond. You guys are the only other people I know in the circles
that I travel that were like big Batman Beyond fans.
No, it was. I loved it.
It was one of those cartoons
that I actually dragged myself to make sure I saw every week. It was good. So,
okay, we just had a geek out moment where Darren said, I feel like I'm in the minority by not liking that.
Phil
and I anxiously, no. But isn't this podcast a geek out moment?
It is a geek out moment. I don't think anyone who is listening has no idea about comics or any interest in comics. And if they do, you're listening to the wrong thing.
Yeah, well, right now it's just the three of us, so.
But I mean, nonetheless.
In case we forget in 3 or 4 days, oh, that's right, I do like Batman Beyond.
I'm not going to be forgetting.
Yeah, I noticed that. We had a nice little spike there.
Yes.
It's impressive. I'm excited.
My blog is really helping this, I think, because I have a lot of people reading.
You're drawing people in, that's for sure.
So I'm happy.
Phil the C is Phil the Man, as far as I'm concerned, right now.
With the Avengers 2, it has also been confirmed that they are working on a television series to coincide with the time between Avengers 1 and Avengers 2. I believe this is primarily S.H.I.E.L.D.-based. It will not star the Avengers. It will be focused on the espionage and the superheroics of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But that nonetheless opens up cameos, at least.
Exactly.
Some of our favorites to just pop in and do things.
And Joss Whedon is behind the steering wheel on that as well.
Can I try and throw a wet blanket on this whole thing just for a second? And I want to gauge your reaction to what I'm about to say. Everyone's debating, like, okay, who are the new characters that are going to be in the new movie? Why are we talking about new characters? You've already got six people. That's more than enough, okay? I know people want to see other characters, but if you start doing that, then, you know, we start losing the relationships, because they were definitely keen. Joss Whedon was keen on building the relationships, like the little competitiveness between Captain America and Iron Man. And, you know, Thor kind of looking down on people and, like, you know, I want more.
The connection between Black Widow and the Hawkeye.
Yeah, I want more of the Hawk. I want to see more of the Tony Stark, David Banner dynamic. And I'm afraid that if we start, you know, pulling in Ant-Man, or we start pulling in, you know, someone else,
don't be surprised if you see Ant-Man, though, with them doing an Ant-Man series. There's an Ant-Man movie coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not saying I'm going to be surprised. I kind of feel like, if they say that we're not bringing anyone else in, we're just going to stick with what we've got.
That wouldn't be bad.
I kind of feel like, let's not muddy the waters here.
It's also been confirmed that Marvel is releasing a Guardians of the Galaxy movie in the middle of 2014, which kind of goes with the...
When is the next Avengers supposedly being released? What's the
2014.
Early? 2014?
Yeah.
God, that's really?
I thought it was 2015 for Avengers.
Holy cow.
Because Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America are 2014, so I thought 2015 was Avengers.
No, those are 2013. Those are next
they?
Year. Yeah, I believe
so.
Iron
Man was 2014.
Winter Soldier is 2014.
Winter Soldier is
coming out. Yeah, Iron Man's coming out like
three.
In
They're
May.
Still filming. They're still filming.
Iron Man comes out in May.
Yeah,
really?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Iron
it
Man
does.
Comes out in May.
I'm actually shocked. I'm not mad
and,
about that.
And Thor comes out next Christmas.
I still haven't seen the first Thor movie. I feel like a bad Marvel person, but Thor's never been one of my favorites.
Yeah, you're alright.
It was a good movie.
I didn't think
it had been better than Captain America.
Captain
was
America
garbage.
Was... I enjoyed it.
I did not.
It's a good movie to just shut... No, it's not like Fantastic Four bad.
No.
There's levels to shit in comic book movies. Like, there are many Fantastic Four bad movies, but Batman and Robin, to me, is the bottom. Like,
have you seen The Spirit?
The Spirit? No.
No.
Do not.
No, trust me.
Batman and Robin as your best.
Trust me. I knew not to see The Spirit the same way I know not to touch a hot stove. Okay?
Oh, good call. All right, that is our analogy of the week.
That was amazing.
That was a great analogy. But anyway, with the...
I just have to note that I'm always going to be scarred by nipple Batman.
Oh, God.
My friend Tim watched... He put himself through watching those Batman Forever and Batman Robin, and he goes, if you go back and watch them, watch how many times they're shooting scenes dialogue against a black background.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're stage plays. I went back and looked, and I'm thinking, yeah, these are almost like they're stage plays at this point. It's like watching an old 60s Doctor Who episode.
Yeah. Wow.
I shot it in someone's closet.
My brain went to that, and it scarred
me. It's bad. It's bad.
Let's get on to something else so I can forget about it.
So, anyway, but I was just saying, like, with the approach of Guardians of the Galaxy in 2014, and Thanos' cameo, brief cameo at the end of the Avengers.
They're definitely fighting that guy.
I'm thinking we might see Nova in the new Avengers movie. They're doing a lot more cosmological stuff. We talked enough about what's going on.
I'm definitely, primarily a DC guy. I'm not one of those. It's not an Ohio State, Michigan thing.
Right.
As we sit here in Northeast Ohio. No, it's like
we all have our focuses.
Right.
I
loved Batman and Superman. Yeah. Superman primarily. Batman, The Flash. But I've always gone in and out of Marvel. I've picked up a bunch of Marvel books.
Yeah, so
in fact, one of my criticisms of Marvel as a kid was that there was no continuity. Is one of the reasons last time I dumped all my New 52 because there's no continuity right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you saying between titles or within titles?
Between and within.
Yeah.
See, I'm starting to read some old stuff again, and I'm starting to see continuity that I didn't think
was there. Well, some of the old stuff, sure, but I'm talking. What you're talking about, you're reading the Spider-Man ones from the 60s. I'm talking about when I was reading in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I'm already into the 70s.
Oh, awesome. that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to about that.
Yeah, we will. Minutes.
All right, so we are moving on now to a section called What You've Been Reading. And where we talk about the books that we've been having on our, you know, coffee tables. And we talk about how we've been liking about them and disliking about them. For this, I'm going to toss to my partner, Phil.
All right. Well, to start with, we are winding down on the Avengers vs. the X-Men. But the actual storytelling is not winding down. Oh, I don't want to spoil anything, but Johnny and I, before the show, were discussing the events that happened in Avengers vs. X-Men. And I will, at some point, wrap up it all once it's all out in the stores.
Probably next month.
Next month, but I don't want to ruin anything now.
We'll set aside a segment for your final, for both of you, to give your final impressions.
For those of you who have not read number 11 yet, even if you haven't been following it, I would recommend grabbing 10 and 11 at least, just to see the epic events that have been going on. Number 11, and I've been saying this every single issue for the last couple months, starting with about 6, every single issue has gotten better. And I don't know if Johnny would agree with that. He's giving me the thumbs up, so he also agrees with that. The actual AVX tie-ins, such as Avengers and Wolverine and the X-Men, since our last show, have been kind of light on their actual tie-ins. They're kind of starting to go in their own direction to, when Avengers, tie up loose ends before they end that title, and that run for it, rather, and start with the number one with Marvel Now. And Wolverine and the X-Men, they're just starting to build toward what I feel will be the next story arc dealing with the Hellfire Club.
Can I just interject?
Yeah.
I read this last week's Wolverine and the X-Men. That was dark, gritty,
so
impressive.
Good.
It was impressively good.
The new Hellfire Club is awesome.
Oh, I thought it was a joke when they first did this with a bunch of teeny boppers running the Hellfire Club.
No.
It's amazing.
They are sick. They are sick.
Perverse.
Yes.
Yeah.
But amazing.
Oh, wow.
And while Avengers right now is kind of toying with the Hydra, we had a little bit of Skrull teaser, and we have Hawkeye and Spider.
Seriously, they're bringing Skrull back.
Yeah, they're Skrulls hanging out. Hey, well, oh, you know. Okay. Other than that, the Avengers Academy, I've been downplaying it a lot recently because I haven't been that attached to the characters. I didn't really know the characters. I have to say that the last part, part 4, it's a final exam that Gage wrote, was amazing. I am starting to be connected to them, which is terrible because there's 2 more issues before it's canceled. But I'm going to play through until the end because of that. There, like I said, there are 2 more issues before Marvel and Now, before it becomes Avengers Arena, which is a play on Battle Royale. So it looks interesting.
I saw that.
Other than those, I am still very focused on my Spider-Man reads. Venom just ended its first arc written by Cullen Bunn. And it was dealing with the demons and monsters of evil. It was a little rocky of a start, in my opinion. I'm never big on the Hell storylines. I just don't care that much. But Bunn did a nice job leading up to Minimum Carnage. Same with Scarlet Spider leading up to Minimum Carnage. They were good, but nothing phenomenal. Something newer that I picked up was the Ultimate Comics Ultimate Spider-Man. I had caught up last time, and I've read a couple more issues, and it has just gotten better. Miles Morales is a surprisingly solid Spider-Man. He's a lot like Peter Parker, while at the same time so different that it's hard not to like him. And that ties in with the Spider-Man 5-part miniseries that I read yesterday, actually. I was home sick from work, so I read comic books, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
And it was amazing. Peter Parker was brought into Miles Morales' dimension, his universe, and was able to run around with Miles and get to know him a little bit, and he actually gave him the go-to to be Spider-Man, which was great. And also you saw Peter Parker, adult Peter Parker, interact with teenage Gwen Stacy, the younger Aunt May, and things like that, which was very, very cool. Everything else is just pretty much out there. Those are the things I wanted to talk about. Nothing is glaring at me at the moment of something that is necessary to talk about without spoilers. I do want to mention my giant venture, though, that we reference from time to time. I got my hands on every single issue of Amazing Spider-Man, starting with one up to 600, whatever we're at right now, 690-something. And I've been reading those, and they are quite interesting. They did a really cool thing with Mary Jane. They introduced her in, I wouldn't say like issue 3 or 4, just through the audio of Aunt May saying, "Hey, my friend's daughter wants to meet you." And Peter's like, "Oh God, she's got to be a beast. Aunt May is trying to hook me up with her." So he keeps hiding from her. And all the way to issue 41. 41 is the first time you see Mary Jane's face. And of course, she says, "You hit the jackpot, Tiger." And so,
didn't she say that in the cartoon as well?
Yes,
she did.
Yes, it was a play on that, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just starting to get interested in Gwen Stacy as well, which is very cool. I don't want to go too in-depth with that. If you want to know more about what's actually going on in that, check out my blog. I do talk about it every week with my 10-plus issues a week that I've been reading. I think I read like 20 this week.
Where can they find your blog?
My blog is fillthec.blogspot.com. That's fillthec.blogspot.com.
Nice. I look forward to your blog and the acquisition day, and we're going to get those up on the site real soon.
Yes.
We're going to talk about later in the podcast about Zero Month and Marvel Now, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we need to.
All right.
And one last thing, just because for some reason it always slips my mind, and it's one of my favorite comics, is Hawkeye. Hawkeye number 2. They keep pumping them out every single month, and every single month I am not upset.
Every single month, it's been 2 issues, brother.
And that is making me happy. And there are plenty
you
more.
You spent a lot of time talking about that last time. It sounds good.
It is a very, very good comic. And there are 2 Hawkeyes in it right now. We got some Kate Bishop going on with Clint Barton. So it's very, very cool. Other than that, just Gambit was the other one coming to my mind. There hasn't been a new issue since our last podcast.
I read Gambit 1. It was a great issue.
Two is better.
Really?
So it's not a bad little comic.
I'll be checking that out.
But that's all I really want to talk about before I take 30 minutes talking about just what I'm reading. So I believe it is Johnny's shot?
All right. Well, it's to me then. I've been reading primarily DC. DC, it's Zero Month. And I had a fight with my girlfriend about whether I should overinvest or not. I decided to overinvest. And I slept on the couch. So... the comics I overinvested
in... like a good comic nerd.
...were Action Comics, Animal Man, wow. Batgirl, Batman,
amazing.
Detective Comics, Dial H, Frankenstein, Justice League, Nightwing, Phantom Stranger, Red Hood and the Outlaws, Resurrection Man, Suicide Squad, Swamp Thing, Sword and Sorcery, and Team 7.
I think you're missing a couple.
I am not missing a couple.
I'm joking.
I have to say, Superman on the cover of Action Comics looks vaguely like Randy Orton.
I was not impressed with Action Comics, and I am going to explain
I
why.
I am impressed with this, though, Johnny. This is outstanding.
What's up?
Your stack.
Your stack. This is freaking cool.
These are my books. These are my books.
This is the place to be this person, and I am being that person. I am nerding out over your stack right now.
Excelente. You know what? I realized why Action Comics... I'm a huge Grant Morrison fan, typically. Typically, I like Grant Morrison. I found out this week...
that you don't anymore?
No. I still like a lot of Grant Morrison stuff. And I harked on this last episode. When they hired Grant Morrison, his contract said, Superman is not allowed to do diabolical things. That's it. They gave him... free reign. You can't do that with Grant Morrison.
Is he in the Willie Mays with the Mets phase of his career?
I don't know.
You don't give crazy free reign. That's
no,
what I'm saying.
No, that's he.
So he is.
Can't...
is it widely known that he's a bit out there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I've read
absolutely.
I've read a lot of his stuff and I've enjoyed it. I mean, I know he's got the shaved head and all that. He dresses up as things from time to time, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was kind of. Alan
when
Moore-ish,
he was so good,
said.
When he was so good with New X-Men, he was good with New X-Men because Marvel said, "Look, these are our characters; keep them the way they are."
He's like, "Okay," and he did
yes.
what he could with it,
and he bent over, and it was great. When he was with Justice League of America, it was amazing. Because DC said, look, these are our characters. This is what they do. And he said, okay. Seven Soldiers. These were a little, he was a little more free reign with the Seven Soldiers series, and I loved it. Action Comics, that he has full reign. And he is crazy.
Well, I read the Action Comics right along with you, and I just, I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on.
Exactly. I don't even think Grant knows what's going on.
I couldn't tell if they were self-contained issues or if there was an overarching story with it. I had no idea. And in one issue, I think we spoke about it in the podcast, he was Barack Obama.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, okay.
I dropped Action Comics a couple of weeks ago. I picked up issue zero because it's issue zero.
And?
It was okay.
Oh. Yeah.
It was okay. It really wasn't. It was confusing. Even issue zero, a self-contained story.
So, par for the course.
Yeah, it was confusing.
So it's still cyanard?
It's still cyanard. Yeah, okay. Now, something that is not cyanard is Phantom Stranger.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Oh, my gosh. Well, no, I'll save this all for Stick Pick and
okay.
For a section later. But no, I really enjoyed Phantom Stranger. Still enjoying Swamp Thing a lot. Oh, so good. Scott Snyder and Kano on Scott Snyder was the writer, Kano was the artist. Wasn't he O.J. Simpson's?
Huh?
No, that was Kato.
Al Collins?
That is not the same guy.
No, different guy. Different guy.
He's not the same one.
No.
Kato Kaelin.
Yeah, it's not him.
No. Okay, that was a... Sorry.
But if it is,
sorry,
good for you,
buddy. Sorry. Yeah.
If it is, hey.
All right. Wait, but no, Swamp Thing is incredible. It's doing great. We are headed into the Rot World event, which I'm really looking forward to, which ties Swamp Thing, Animal Man, and Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. Together, I'm really looking forward to this event. Frankenstein Agent of Shade, which was my drop a few weeks ago, with a Matt Kent, was great. It was great. I really enjoyed how dark and contained this story was. It was very cool. The Batman series with the issue zeros has been exploring more of Batman's backstory.
I hear his parents were murdered.
No.
Right in front of him. In a back alley. That'll lead you to Batman, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So, but no, Scott Snyder is doing some great stuff. Detective Comics is a comic that I haven't been buying for a couple months. I picked up the number zero. And Tony Daniel actually told a really good story. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Are you not a Tony Daniel fan? Or
I'm not a Detective Comics fan.
Oh, I wasn't either.
No.
That thing fell apart after a good start.
Issue 1 was amazing. Yeah. Issue 1 was amazing, but no, it stunk.
On that, Joker's supposed to be coming back, I saw?
I'm going to be addressing that.
Okay,
good.
I'm
going to
be addressing that. Might as well, spoiler alert, thank you.
Well, we do try to remain as spoiler-free as possible with the current stuff.
But I mean, that is posted all over the place. I've seen posters up in comic shops, and it's not a secret.
All right.
I don't read it, and I knew it was
happening.
Oh, okay. It's next month. This month is issue zero, where you get 52 zero issues.
Very original. That didn't happen 10, 15 years ago.
No, I know. Scream 90s.
I have Zero Hour.
I enjoyed Zero Hour. That should have been our retro review.
It should have been,
yeah. It should have been.
I have one that relates, though.
Yeah, he's got his. His is good.
But no, I enjoyed Zero Hour, actually. Didn't enjoy any of the issue zeros from Marvel, DC, or Image, or Dark Horse, or any other... No, that was a 90s fluff.
Yeah,
for sales.
The gimmicky.
Right. And that's... But no, Batman, after Zero Month, we are moving into Death of the Family, which is spread across the Batman titles. Last time we saw Joker, it was just his face, plastered on the wall of Arkham Asylum. It was dark, it was gripping, it was a...
And when you say his face, is someone had scalped his face.
Someone had cut off his face and plastered it to the wall of Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Joker is coming back next month. And I am stoked.
It's Joker.
Death of the Family. I'm so stoked. So, but that's happening next month, and it's spread across all the bad titles, with a few exceptions. But we've got Batman in there, we got Batgirl in there, we got Nightwing in there, we got
so
Dark
it's Death of
Red
the
Hood.
Family, right?
Death of the Family.
Death of
yes.
the Family. Okay.
Where he's Joker is going after the Bat Family. He already shot Barbara Gordon in the spine, and she's back walking again, and he's probably not too happy about that.
That was pre-New 52.
Yeah, that was... Right. Well, it's actually incorporated with the New 52.
That was in The Killing Joke, wasn't it?
The Killing Joke, yes. And then he flat out killed Jason Todd.
Yep.
And Jason Todd's back up and walking around, so he's probably not too happy about that.
Stayed dead for 20 years.
He did stay dead for quite a long time.
Yeah, he was dead
Then they introduced the Lazarus Pit, and that was... something I'm going to be addressing later. But that's where I'm at right now. I've also been reading... I have also been reading Wolverine and the X-Men, which, like we said earlier, is a great comic. Jason Aaron
is yet to disappoint.
Oh, such a good book.
So good.
Such a good book. I've been reading Fables... where we're wrapping up the title, we're wrapping up the storyline for Cubs in Toyland. Very, very finely, I think Fables is going to stay a graphic novel book for me because it's easier to read as a whole.
Mm.
And I mean, I collected, I've got quite a few of the comics. It's just easier to read it as a complete story.
I started with The Walking Dead. Issue by issue, and then I got to a point where I had to, or I was reading them in graphic novel form, and I found it to be more enjoyable.
I did the same thing. Like I actually started the other way. I did started with graphic novels with Walking Dead, and started reading issue by issue.
As did I.
And now I've stopped reading issue by issue, and I'm waiting until the next trade comes out because I don't enjoy it as much this way. Just kind of like, okay, that happened.
Yeah, I've got about 100 of the Fable books, and I think I'm just going to be collecting the graphic novels from now on. The same with, no, I'm going to stick with Ferris for a little while. Ferris is the Fables spin off, also by Bill Willingham, but he's bringing in other writers as well to write that story, which deals with, you know, the damsel in distress from Fairy Tales.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually an enjoyable story as well. They just wrapped up their first story, which focused on the Ice Queen. And it was actually a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's hard to remember that these guys are modern-day characters in a fantasy world. Because we all want to see Alibaba's in this story, and I want to see him acting like Alibaba, and he's not. He's got a cell phone. So, it's...
Oh, did you mean they're fantasy characters in a modern-day
world? They're modern characters... in a fantasy world. They are in a fantasy world.
Okay.
They're fantasy characters that were placed in our world, the modern world, mm-hmm. and then went back to the fantasy world.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, that's where we got. It's a little convoluted if you haven't read Fables.
I haven't read it in years.
It's still great.
It was
still
good when it started.
No, it's still a good book, and I still follow it every month.
Wow.
It's just easier, once the stories are complete, to read them consistently as a whole. But anyway, that's what I've been reading. Saga's taking a break. BKV said, you know what? I need a couple months to refresh. And that's what he's been doing. So, with that, I'm going to pass to my brother Darren.
Alright, so last month, I kind of dropped. I had said sayonara to all of my New 52 for no other reason than I was ready for a change. Some of the New 52 were extremely good. Some of them went with less than stellar results. So I finished up Superman, Green Lantern. I said I was going to stop at issue 12. The Flash, Nightwing, and Justice League. And the only ones I had second thoughts were Batman, The Flash, and Nightwing. Superman,
you've been loving The Flash the whole time.
As good as The Flash has been in forever. And that's one of my top three favorite characters. I mean, I would say The Flash is the most underrated character out there. He always seems to be cast
Aquaman.
Aside. Aquaman too, but
okay.
Green Lantern was consistently good. I mean, yeah. It wasn't great, it was never bad.
Jeff Johns does that. I mean, he's
whoever,
really, really good, or he's just, meh.
For The Flash, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
For The Flash, the team of Francis Menapul and Brian, I don't even know how to say his name, Bucalato? Just absolutely fantastic book. Yeah. I love the story. I like what they were doing with the Flash. I loved what they were doing with the Speed Force. Nightwing, I've always loved Nightwing because he's the one character that seemed to grow up with us.
Yeah.
I got to see him as Robin when I was a kid. I saw him leave Robin, stay Robin, without Batman as a Teen Titan. When Batman takes a new Robin back in the mid-80s, he becomes Nightwing, and Jason Todd gets killed, and he grows into Nightwing, and then...
Well, he became Nightwing when Batman broke his back, didn't he?
No, he was Nightwing with the Teen Titans.
Oh,
he became
oh, okay.
Nightwing during the Judas contract.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
All right.
I am done with the new 52, but I do still have some DC. Masters of the Universe, I disagreed with you last month. I'm mm-hmm. enjoying it. Issue 2... Not as cool as issue 1, but they have the whole thing where it looks like He-Man has amnesia. You guys have already talked about the Doctor Who Star Trek The Next Generation crossover. It's very good so far. It's a little light on The Next Generation, though. It's very heavily Doctor-told, but it looks like in the next... The tease for the next issue, and there's your Captain Kirk.
Oh, that is
sexy. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And they tease to the next issue with... let's see if I can find it here. It was basically Jean-Luc Picard stepping into or out of the TARDIS.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, this is one of those things that can really only happen in comics.
Yeah.
And it's super fun. I'm digging the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, starting from number 1. And this came out about a year ago. I'm catching them up to issue 5. And it's Kevin Eastman is involved. Peter Laird is not. But... For those of us who got into the old Eastman and Laird comic way back in the mid-80s, prior to the cartoon and the pizza and the cowabunga, dark and gritty, and they've managed to incorporate some of the things that most people who are Ninja Turtle fans fell in love with the cartoon, and the excellent first movie, by the way, most people fell in love with those versions of the Turtles, so they incorporate a little bit of this in here, the bit of an origin story. I talked about it a little bit in the podcast last month.
Is it still in black and white?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's muted colors, though.
Okay.
It's not...
Yeah, I can't really get used to Ninja Turtles in color, though.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, so I'm way, way behind on it. I've got to get issues between. The last one I picked up is 13, so I'm missing a bunch of issues in between. I told you guys I'd been reading The Last Phantom, and that's on a hiatus. I'm sticking with The Last Phantom. In fact, I believe the first two episodes, that was my pick of the week, or the pick of the month was The Last Phantom. I was loving how that got started. It had a bit of a bump in the road, and it's on hiatus. It's coming back, though. I was reading Star Trek, the original series, which is they're calling Season 4 or Year 4. That wasn't bad. It really was very... I'm wondering now if that tone... works as a comic book because the tone very methodical, very scientific, very the prime directive. We're going to debate about the prime directive. Do we go in? Do we not? But it always used to come down to Captain Kirk's cowboy diplomacy. I'm wondering if a lot of elements like that work in a comic form. So I've been reading that. I'm going to stick with that. And G.I. Joe Origins. Came out a couple of years ago. I'm not that big of a G.I. Joe fan, but I know a lot of my friends are, so I picked it up. I loved it. The first 9 issues of that G.I. Joe Origins, I'm reading them on Comixology.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. I mean, you end up becoming like Snake Eyes ends up becoming one of your top favorite characters. Like, wow, Snake Eyes has really got it.
Snake Eyes has always really got it.
Yeah, but they give you a little bit more...
All right.
Backstory. They don't want to give you too much backstory, which is what you want, but they don't give you a lot. So it's enough to like keep your interest. Finding Gossamer, which was from Third World Studios, they had a zero issue come out.
I checked that on New Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day that I liked. I actually could not find this. I had to find it on eBay. I haven't read it because I just got it in the mail today. So I'll let you know how that goes. The Shadow. From Dynamite, which is also doing the Last Phantom, 1930s. It's a period piece, and I'm liking it a lot.
I read in the newspaper that they were doing a pulp hero crossover.
It's called Masks. It's not out yet, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I will be reading that for certain. It's going to be Interestingly enough, I don't think the Phantom. It's got Green Hornet. It's got Zorro. It's got.
The Spider.
The Scarlet Spider or the...
No, just Spider.
This is the Spider.
Yeah, Scarlet Spider is Marvel.
And the Shadow.
Yeah.
So I'm
looking
digging...
forward to that, actually.
The Shadow so far has been pretty good. The Rocketeer Which
no way. No way.
It's pretty cool. I'm reading The Rocketeer.
Badass.
And I'm really liking
Excuse
it.
Excuse me.
You know, Dave Stevens created The Rocketeer in the 1980s, said that he passed away a few years ago. But he created The Rocketeer as the archetype for all the pulp heroes. Like, he created The Rocketeer as he's the one that was the actual hero that, you know, Superman was inspired by, Clark Kent was inspired by, Batman was inspired by. Like, as if he existed in that world to give inspiration to those characters. Right, the first four issues that I have are as an anthology set. So they're just like mini stories. And in fact, in the first issue, there's a mini story where he saves a young boy from a farm in Kansas from a person named Lex. It's basically, he teaches Superman how to fly. It's pretty cute. It's good stuff. I'm nice. Very much looking forward to it. I've got three of the first four. Been very good. I mean, in one of these, the artwork is just absolutely stunning. And I don't know offhand who it was that did it.
Do they have to show it to you every issue?
What's it? Yeah. Well, they
kind of like each of magic.
Each short story has its own artist. All right. And then I have issue one waiting for me. They're starting the very first full length story. It's called Rocketeer and the Cargo of Doom. So it's very pulpy, very Saturday morning serial inspired. It's the first full-length story for the Rocketeer in over 20 years since
nice.
The movie came out. Which, by the way, movie holds up. That movie was fantastic.
Does. No, yeah,
it was a very good movie.
I'm
it holds up just well.
Yeah.
I mean, the costume was just right off the page. Really right off the page. I was hoping to talk about Fairy Quest Outlaws on this issue, which is a Kickstarter campaign I supported for Umberto Ramos and Paul Jenkins. Still don't have it. This thing it was supposed to deliver in July, which, from what I understand, I've supported a lot of Kickstarter stuff. It's a wonderful outlet for a lot of creators. From what I understand, it's not unusual for these things to go behind it by a couple of months. I'm like, which is fine. But they've gotten themselves a little bit of bad publicity because they were featured at Dragon Con and the New York City Comic Con. And I know for a fact, well, I should say a lot of people are upset because it looks like people at Dragon Con were getting the books and we still don't have them.
That would upset me.
The Kickstarter campaign. So they put out a release on the Kickstarter page to all the supporters, and I supported. I'm getting the full book, shrink wrapped in the collector's edition form. It looks amazing. I have the PDF of it, but I want to hold it in my hand. It looks good, but they're not saying anything about. They said that the books are on their way, but that was a week ago, and I still don't have it. So. I'm thinking that they've got those cells in a little bit of hot water right now with their Kickstarter supporters because, in all honesty, we should have had that. No one else should have those out there right now. We were the ones who supported it from the start. And we know Umberto Ramos. He's a great artist. I mean, I've seen his stuff. Yeah, Umberto Ramos is fantastic.
One of my favorites.
When I heard, it sounds a little bit like a lot about Fables, but I don't want to say that because I haven't read it. But I was really hoping to say that in a podcast. You know, I stand by it, though. If the next episode we do... If it's in and I've read it and I've loved it, I won't even remember that I didn't have it when I was supposed to. But, I mean, I know you had thought a lot about doing a Kickstarter campaign for your novel.
I have.
And
I'm
I feel like
to.
This is bad form for if you've, you know, you had a ton of people go on and throw money at your direction and say, this looks great, we're really excited, let me help you out.
And they're just not coming through.
And, well, it's not only that. I'm fine with waiting and let quality be quality, but... I'm a little bit peeved if it's true that the Dragon Con people got that before we did. So we'll see what happens.
I would be annoyed.
Yeah. So that's what I'm reading.
All right. So that closes off our segment. Now we're moving into a little bit of a debate. We're talking about DC Zero Month and Marvel Now.
That's exactly how it's going.
There has to be Marvel Now. With a little exclamation point,
you
all
didn't
caps.
Do it right in our rundown, sir.
No,
sorry,
it's not in caps. It doesn't have the exclamation point. I'm upset with you.
Well, we are grammarians, and we know that.
So
I'm more disappointed in you than you are of me, sir.
If that's how it's printed, that's the way
Whatever.
It is. Come on now.
All right, so myself, because me as the DC geek, I'm sitting next to my Marvel geek friend Phil. And we are going to discuss Marvel Now begins next month, I believe.
Yeah, like in 2 weeks.
And 0 month is right here because, you know, the best comes out of the gate first. So, let's start this debate.
I'm sorry, how's your reboot going? Because I'm pretty sure it's not great. Hearing your 0 month is a little weak. But I don't know if we're really arguing this as much as saying what's happening,
right? About it, right, no, we are.
And I mean, once again, it's not fair to say. I haven't read any of the New 52. I don't want to have any real opinion about it. I've made plenty of jokes about it. But I don't know, and I have a lot of respect for what DC does. I like a lot of the DC characters. Do you want to actually talk about New 52 before I go into Marvel now, since it is out there?
Well, let me talk about what's going on. Yeah, okay, let me do
that. Yeah, handle that, and then I'll take care of Marvel now.
With the Zero issue, what they're doing. Now, Zero issue last month, last year at this time, with DC rebooting their entire universe, I overinvested. I bought about $150 worth of comics in 1 month. Mm. It has not let me down. That $150 is now worth $5.
Those number ones are
right.
Solid.
The number ones are good. Now the number zeros are not selling as well. I don't know if that's when everybody wants to see a new baby. Everybody wants to see a new baby, everybody wants to coddle it and kiss it and, you know, call it George. And I'm just making an analogy, brother.
I don't like babies.
But you know what I'm saying? All right. Phil doesn't like babies.
No.
So if you start reading Marvel Comics, you won't like babies either. There.
I don't know if you should have a blanket statement like
You're
a baby hater if you like Spider-Man.
No, that sounds about right.
No, yeah, no, thank you. Thank you.
DC punks.
So anyway.
I'm not a DC punk anymore.
No, he's an indie punk.
Yeah.
He still has DC Comics.
It's not really
indie.
It's not indie.
No, I know,
But
it's
still.
The other press.
DC.
But it's not. But that's not tied into the New 52.
But anyhow, let's get back to anyway, New 52. What DC was doing with Zero Month was tying together some continuity holes that you had complained about, Darren.
Now, is this a direct reflex or a response to fans going, wait, what's going on?
No, I believe they were always planning this.
Okay.
I believe they were always planning this.
But that seems so... They were planning 0 month from the start?
I believe they had.
That's not unheard of.
No.
I mean, I know, but that seems weird.
The way that they did it, they dropped everything. They dropped over 50 years of continuity just like that.
But they didn't.
I just stamped my fingers in case you didn't hear it.
But they didn't.
But they didn't.
But they did.
See, that's what I don't understand about
this. Yeah.
That's what 0 month was supposed to clear up. And it's not. All right. I'm just
so glad
not.
I bailed when I did.
Books,
yes, I am
They're
very happy
books.
I
They
did
are
not
good
invest.
Books. They are good stories. It's not clearing a hell of a lot up. And I keep swearing, and I'm sorry if anybody's offended by my foul language.
You said
but
hell. I'm pretty sure everyone's all right.
Well, then, all right, then they can just kiss my ass.
They say that in church sometimes.
They do.
I've heard it in church.
I've said hell. I was talking about the hell storyline, but hell nonetheless.
Yeah. But, I'm enjoying 0 month. I'm not enjoying it as much as the birth month, you know, a year ago in September. I'm not enjoying it as much.
Well, it did have that new toy feel to it.
Right.
I was kind of like, although I wasn't like everyone else, I mean, I can speak on this because I did follow the New 52 for a full year. I just wrapped up the final 12 issue 12s I had to go through. And my thing was, it's what I said, the reason I dropped it, although it's a wonderful point for all these new people to jump off, it's an excellent point for guys like me to jump off.
It really was.
I just, you know, I didn't want to throw away the continuity from the characters that I'd been reading since I was 8 years old.
Right.
I begrudge DC nothing. I'm like, clearly, from what you told us, the numbers, they're right, and they're selling... They're the highest seller now.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
So
it was an ambitious move.
And it worked.
And it's not letting them down.
It worked.
Now, here's something that I disagree with. They are introducing 4 new titles with issue 0. They have canceled 4 titles. They are introducing Phantom Stranger, Sword of Sorcery, Team 7, and Talon. With issue zeros, and they didn't do that with the rest of the books. So, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I've enjoyed all the series that they've introduced so far. Talon is the only new series with an issue 0 coming up. But I'm still sold. I like the Zero issue, and I like the direction the New 52s are coming out.
How is the Sword and Sorcery?
Sword and Sorcery is dark. It is gritty. It is nice. Now, I actually had the Amethyst Princess of Gemworld number one from a long, long time ago. That's really cool. The Beowulf backup story is really cool.
Interesting.
The art is amazing, too. So, I actually had the Amethyst. The Amethyst is the main character in Sword of Sorcery. And I actually had her number one issue way back in the day. I think I threw it out when I was 15 because it was too girly. This comic is not girly. This comic is decent. I don't know if I'll probably pick up the number one. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, something I continue reading, but I really enjoyed the issue zero. Same with Team 7 and Phantom Stranger, but I'll save those for Stick Stuck Pick.
All right, so Marvel Now, huh?
Marvel Now.
Well, instead of being a reboot like New 52, it's a new direction. It's the aftermath of Avengers vs. X-Men. There's no hush-hush about that. It's all these storylines that are kind of coming to a close after that. A lot of the writers are leaving one title to go to another. Notably, Bendis is going to X-Men, which
He's the Avengers boy.
He is, and that's why Avengers is getting a new number one. They are shifting writers, so a lot of things are going to become interesting just purely based on who is writing what. Remender is going to Uncanny Avengers, which sounds amazing because
one of the
people that's on that team, well, there's two people on the team that is really interesting. We have Scarlet Witch, who anybody who knows Marvel knows that mutants are not a giant fan of her at this point because she kind of took away a lot of their abilities. And then you have Rogue, who the Avengers aren't a giant fan of because the first time they met Rogue, she kind of beat the crap out of one of their favorite members, Miss Marvel, and took her powers for years. So there's a lot of stuff. And Havoc is the leader of that team, which is going to be awesome.
Now, something I read about on Newsarama was the new Cable and the X-Force title.
There is a Cable and the X-Force.
Incredible.
I'm trying to ignore it because I can't pick up that many more books because there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out. I mentioned the Avengers Arena, which is replacing Avengers Academy. Uncanny Avengers is replacing Uncanny X-Men because after whatever happens by the end of AVX, there's not going to be a school at Utopia. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if you're paying attention at all what's going on, but kind of the big players from the school in Utopia made mistakes. So this isn't something brand new. This is a new direction. We're not losing the past stories. I'm not even 100% certain what all's getting new number ones. There's rumors that Spider-Man might be after issue 700 because they wanted to push it to 700. They may keep numbering them as normal. There's no telling. It's one of those wait and sees. It's not something that when we hit October, everything resets. October is when Uncanny Avengers comes out. November is when Avengers and New Avengers get new number ones. Secret Avengers is going to keep running as is. The Hawkeye series is going to keep running as is. Gambit's going to run as is. So it's kind of a wait and see. Keep paying attention to the internet. Keep looking around. And we will all be surprised as
it goes. They're all starting over from number ones also.
They're starting over from number ones, but they're not losing their backstory. It's because there's a new writer, and the new writers are getting number ones to start their runs.
Oh, okay.
So
that makes no sense to me, but sure.
it's an interesting way to do it. A lot of them were lucky because of the Marvel Now jump on point that they could make number ones for their runs.
So clearly this is in direct response to the New 52.
Maybe not. I don't know. I've never heard someone say this is definitely why.
Well, they're not going to come out and say it.
Well, but
I mean, although you got to give DC and Marvel credit, they've been friendly forever, but
yes,
they're still competitors.
They actually, especially Spider-Man, makes constant references to Superman and Batman in his stories.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there is no beef there. They make plenty of comments.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is like a definite response to New 52. But I can assume that because they saw the numbers of the New 52, they thought this might be the right way to go. Maybe get some new people in. So it's interesting. I am super looking forward to it. I have 2, maybe 3 weeks before Uncanny Avengers comes out because Marvel kind of poked us the wrong way, and they said that Avengers vs. X-Men was going to be done in September. The last issue comes out the first week of October. But it's supposed to be a double-sized issue, so it could be really nice. There's a big fight coming. But that is it for our Marvel Now stuff, because I don't have anything else. But we're moving on to what, Johnny?
We are moving now to Stuck, Pick, Stick, and Sayonara. All right, and I believe that I'm entering the section. Once that you guys have heard what I've been reading, those are the books that I picked up in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I'm sticking with Batman. Scott Snyder's Batman and Greg Capullo has been doing the illustrations for Batman. It is a great series. I've really never seen Batman written any better. I'm pretty stuck on Batman, so I'm going to stick with it, especially with Death of the Family coming up, which I referenced earlier. I'm sticking with... I think I'm going to stick with, as I go through my thingies, Suicide Squad. I'm going to stick with Suicide Squad and Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing again with Scott Snyder. I'm sticking with Scott Snyder because he's really not disappointing me. I'm just going to stick with Suicide Squad because I really like what Adam Glass is doing with the series. It's intense, it's gripping, it's just really cool. My pick of the week has to be Justice League.
Cool.
It really, really does because, I mean, Justice League this week did a thing where they just gave an introduction to Shazam. With Geoff Johns and Jim Lee has left the title. He is now the artist for issue zero was Gary Frank. He did a great job.
Yeah, showed me it before the show. Before the
no, recording. He did a great job. They both did amazing jobs. It's a good backstory. It's not believable, obviously, because it's Shazam. But
now is he gone? He's off the title now for good. He's done.
Oh no, he's part of the team.
Oh, okay.
Gary Frank. Are you talking Gary Frank?
Jim Lee.
Jim Lee probably will not be back for a while.
Okay.
He
does a lot now with DC. He's not just
an
artist anymore.
Yeah, he does. And apparently so does Geoff Johns.
Mm-hmm.
Writing, 15 of their books. that's an exaggeration. He doesn't write 15, but pretty damn close. That's got to be my pick. And sadly, I think I'm... finally gonna have to say sayonara to Red Hood. I tried it. Scott Lobdell and...
Is Red Hood Jason Todd?
Jason Todd, yes. Don't give me that!
Why? No, I mean, his return was amazing, about 6-7 years ago?
Yeah,
that was
okay.
Shocking.
Yeah.
No longer cool.
Yeah. I'm just, Scott Lobdell was a 90s name that we all know. And I'm just going to have to say sayonara. It's just not enough for me. I read the story. The story was good. Talking about Jason Todd, talking about how he came to be Batman, mm-hmm. or how he came to be Robin, how he came to get killed, how he came back. And they did a really cute thing, which was the story from Joker's perspective, which was a lot of fun to read. I'm just going to have to say goodbye.
Fair
because
enough.
It's not... not what I'm digging.
Only so many places you can go on that.
Exactly. And with that, I'm going to pass to Darren.
Well, I'm not going to get rid of anything. No sayonaras this month. I covered that last month.
Fair enough.
Sticking with Masters of the Universe, I'm stuck on Doctor Who and Star Trek The Next Generation.
Well, that's a miniseries. That should
it should be over, in fact, if you want to take these, go for it.
Thank you.
Sticking with the Ninja Turtles, I'm going to keep going with that. I haven't dug into Finding Gossamer. I'm going to go ahead and say that my pick of the month is The Rocketeer. I hadn't done much with The Rocketeer in a long, long, long time. It was kind of an impulse buy, and I'm very happy I did it. It's a lot of fun. It's very lighthearted, but the anthologies I've been reading so far have been great. I'm really looking forward to the Cargo of Doom storyline.
Nice.
All right, to me, I suppose. I am stuck on all the Spider-Man titles. That is including Avenging Spider-Man, Scarlet Spider, Venom, and Amazing Spider-Man. I'm sticking with Avengers Academy just because it's almost over anyway, and two more issues, it's okay. I want to see what happens to them and see how it leads to Avengers Arena. I'm also sticking with Avengers, New Avengers, Secret Avengers, finishing up the Avengers vs. the X-Men stuff. My picks, I have two this month because I couldn't decide, are Hawkeye and Ultimate Comics Ultimate Spider-Man. They're that good. As for Sayonara's, I'm going to say goodbye to a couple books by the end of the month because I have to, because they are gone. And we'll go from there and see how Marvel Now handles the new things that are on their way.
It looks like a lot of fun.
No Sayonara's for me at all.
And from this, we are going into retroactive review, which I believe that Darren...
No, it is me.
It is
the Dark Phoenix saga. Now, okay. Obviously, I did the Dark Phoenix saga because of Avengers vs. the X-Men. It was either do the Phoenix saga or the Dark Phoenix saga. And let's be honest, I like the Dark Phoenix saga more because Jean Grey burns up at the end. No one's mad about that. Well, maybe a lot of people were mad about that. It was like,
hey, I was in love with Jean Grey.
I'm sure you were. There was a proper death burial at the end of it. For those who do not remember, it was basically the Hellfire Club. They took Jean Grey on as the Black Queen with the help of, oh my god, I want to call him Taskmaster, and that is definitely not his name. Oh, that's
not
terrible.
Not Oliver Trask.
No, it wasn't Trask. Well, Trask was part of it, yeah. But I can't even remember his name.
Shaw? Sebastian Shaw?
Sebastian Shaw was in it, okay. But was not the guy that took over her mind. It was, oh god, I feel terrible that I forget this. It's almost 7:30 at night and I work today. I'll get back to that part. But anyway, someone had tricked her brain with the help of Emma Frost to completely control her psychic abilities.
Emma Frost is
a bad guy at this point. And Jean Grey is tricked into being the Black Queen, convinced that she's in love with someone else instead of Scott Summers, and basically joins the Hellfire Club. But she is, at this point, the most powerful psychic that we know of, so she ultimately breaks this ability, but in the process of doing so, she unlocks the darkness within her and becomes the Dark Phoenix. Dark Phoenix is, and always will be, one of the most powerful things in the world.
Is it Mastermind?
It is Mastermind. Thank you, sir. Mastermind is able to mess with her mind based on the help of Emma Frost with psychic help. Emma Frost has recently been removed from the Hellfire Club and previous things that were not directly related to this. So anyhow, Jean Grey becomes Dark Phoenix. She fights it with all of her might. Phoenix starts taking her over. In a last moment of anguish and love for Scott Summers, she throws herself in front of a beam and is roasted. And she gets eaten up and she is gone. Gone, 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 gone. And
until they need her again.
Until they need her again. Yeah. And so is this Phoenix Force. For the, what, this is like the second or third time in the universe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And before it comes back another 12 times. But all in all, it was a solid little series. It was needed. It's funny, I have all of the X-Men comics from the very beginning up until 2008 as digital comics. So I had actually read up to this point. This is the point that I had stopped reading before.
Which you bought legally.
Yes,
correct?
Yes. Of course, yes. Actually, I do own a vast majority of them in trade paperbacks and whatnot.
You know, I think the reason that the retroactive reviews are so much fun for us and so much fun for people to listen to us talk about is there is a fear that we're going to remember that we have such fond memories of these comics, reading them as a kid, and then they're not going to hold up. Like, the nostalgia factor can only carry you in for maybe an issue before you're licking them for a little bit more depth.
It's like those amalgams that I did in our pilot show.
Our first retroactive review was me reviewing the Clone Saga. And as a child, I loved the Clone Saga.
I'm now looking forward to getting to that one. I'm reading my Spider-Man books.
Oh,
and now I look at it as like, what am I reading?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one I did was the Crisis on Infinite Earths, which I was enjoying just fine for 6 issues until I realized it's actually 12 issues, and I'm like, all right, I'm bailing out now. George Perez and Mark Wolfman, but it got a little bit almost litigious at some point.
And I think that was the nice thing about Dark Phoenix Saga. There were little fill-in issues that you didn't really have to read, and I kind of skipped over, that were just little side stories dealing with people that were somehow touched by the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
But for the main story, it was a relatively quick read. A lot of the characters act the same way they still do today. You still got a lot of that feel of the X-Men. Wolverine played a big part, and I love Logan, and this is before he was incredibly developed, but he was still running through the sewers with a Nightcrawler, and there was so much good to it.
It was classic Wolverine.
It was classic Wolverine, it was classic Nightcrawler, it was classic everybody, and I enjoyed it so much.
Wolverine.
And if you get a chance to go back, I know there's a trade.
Yeah, that's how I read it the first time.
Well, Wolverine's character developed very, very much after House of M when he got his memories back.
Yes.
That's really where his character started to develop.
Yes. But all in all, as a retro, I want to say that Dark Phoenix really holds up. It is
nice.
Still a good comic. And to be fair, though, it may not be quite as good as I feel that it is, but my hype for the Phoenix is still very high because of AVX. And we have a feeling of what's going to happen next. I'm trying not to ruin what happened in round 11, so we need to move on now before I say something I regret.
We all have fond memories of the Dark Phoenix saga from our youth. So I believe we're
handled
all
quite tastefully in X-Men 2, X-Men United. And then completely...
Let's ignore that movie.
Yeah,
Let's ignore that movie.
All right.
So, we are moving now on to what you're looking forward to. And what I'm looking forward to, I believe, is Death of the Family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to that in Batman. I'm looking forward to, like last month you reminded me, to Arrow coming to the CW network, which is the story
of
Green Arrow.
It's looking pretty solid right now.
It is looking pretty good.
It's going to be interesting.
They handled Smallville really well in the later seasons. In the later seasons, Smallville was handled pretty well.
For a show that should have ended in season 3, it did real well for going 10 seasons.
I made it 3 seasons in.
Yeah.
I made it to season 3.
It was good.
I made it to season 7. And
I watched
all
10 seasons, and I'm reading Smallville season 11.
Wow, that is a
because 10 seasons of Smallville were not enough for me.
Wowzers!
Yeah. Anything else you're looking forward to, Johnny?
Hold on, my world needs to recalibrate now.
Sorry, what can I tell you?
It's okay. I think that's what I'm looking forward to. What about you guys?
Arrow, I agree. I'm sort of looking forward to Fairy Quest Outlaws. Not as feverishly as before. I'm looking forward
to Humberto Ramos.
Yeah, the Kickstarter campaign. Looking forward to seeing how Doctor Who and the Star Trek The Next Generation wraps up. I'm also looking forward to Masks, which is the Pulp Heroes crossover. I have that coming. And I'm really looking forward to the Rocketeer and the Cargo of Doom.
Nice. On to me. I'm looking forward to reading the Star Trek and Doctor Who. I'm pretty excited about it. Looking forward to Marvel Now, because it's my thing, and it's going to be the aftermath of AVX. I'm looking forward to the aftermath. They have a few issues coming out called Consequences. We have A Plus X, which is a mini-series based off of it. So all the stuff falling after, I'm looking forward to. And lastly, but not leastly, Minimum Carnage, because Carnage is back, and he is syringe size. So let's see what happens.
Mm.
All right, so that's it for us right now. We are broadcasting out of the Nervous Dog Coffee Bar in Stowe. And coming up at this coffee bar, we have an art show coming up next Saturday called Fish Originals Part 2. Fish is the artist that we have hanging in here currently. He is an incredible abstract expressionist. His pictures are great. Come up and see them. You can meet him in person next Saturday.
That's September the 29th, correct?
Yes, September the 29th. Thank you. September the 29th, come up and meet him in person. Prints and originals will be available. The show is from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And also, personal plug, I'm about to release the second part of my Walrus Inc. storyline on Kindle. So if you want to pick up the first Walrus Inc. storyline on Kindle, It's called Walrus Inc. by Johnny Capps, with no H, just Johnny Capps, JONNYCAPPS. It's available on Amazon.com for $2.99. Do not pick up the $12.99 version, because that's the first edition, and it's about to go off the market. So, that's what I got to plug. You guys got to plug in anything?
Yeah, speaking of broadcasting from the Nervous Dog Coffee Bar, I'm still in production of my other podcast, the Life in Northeast Ohio podcast. And last fall, I did a series of 4 test shows, which I'm calling a micro-series, before I ran into my computer crashing, hard drive issues, picking up a second job. But I've got the first one of those I recorded with the former manager of the Nervous Dog Coffee Bar, Flips, Jim Phillips. And I put that up on our website, so you can go over and give it a listen to that. And keep your ears peeled for the first season of the Life in Northeast Ohio podcast, which will be coming soon.
Good stuff. I have nothing to plug this week because I'm lame.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. These are great geeks. We are all wonderful people. Thank you for listening. Have a great night.
Excelsior!